Well, I want to welcome everyone also to Extreme Friend Sunday. You like the extreme cold weather, right? That was part of it. We asked God to give that cold. No, I'm just kidding. We had our extreme friend game. That's why we did that game, as our extreme game. But let me ask you guys, how has 2017 been so far? Have you accomplished great things already in the first week? Yeah? You've already lost 6 pounds, right? You've been exercising every day, and you've memorized 14 verses of the Bible and read your Bible, all that good stuff. Yeah, that's all going on. You've kind of caused world peace, right? Everything. You've done it all. Guess what I've done so far in 2017? Oh, wait, Mike, did you want to say something? Oh, I did that? No, here's what I did. I blew my nose all week. Pretty much, this is it. Blow, blow, blow. And I've probably gone through 5 boxes of Kleenexes. I'm not kidding. I'm feeling much better now. I've been on antibiotic for a week, so I'm probably safe. You can, touch me, maybe. But it hasn't been very fun, really. I should have bought stock in Kleenex this week because I would have been a rich man. And I'm not very good at being sick, really. My wife would say that. She says I'm a little dramatic, and I say things like, I am never going to be well again. I'm never going to get over this cold. I'm sick forever, and that's what I felt like. And on Monday, I planned to get a good start on my sermon this week and get things going, and I felt horrible, like just a lump of goo. So basically, I watched about 14 hours of college football on Monday. So that's what I did on Monday. On Tuesday, I tried to work and didn't get much done. I went home and ended up watching about 5 hour marathon of a show called Live Free or Die. Have you seen that? Because I just felt like I had no energy, so I watched that. And it's about people who live off the grid in various parts of the country. Anybody seen that show? Yeah, so I get into those kind of shows for some reason. I'm weird. But I might not accomplish much this week, but I do know how to build a smoker pit in the ground now and heat the rocks up and cook a turkey. So I can do that. I haven't tried it yet. Yeah, see, that's something, right? And then I know how to make a windmill now out of like old snow shovels and plastic buckets and a motor from a broken treadmill. Okay, I learned that, right? So that's something. I know what a nutria looks like now. It's like a big muskrat, in case you're wondering. Okay, so I know that now. So that's kind of been my week, at least the first part of it. And I'd say the highlight for me, though, was I did get to baptize Alyssa Deem last Sunday, and so that was awesome. That was a good start to the year. But do you ever feel like those are the kind of things that you accomplish? If it's not blowing your nose, it seems like there's some other meaningless thing that you're doing with your life. You're taking your kids to one activity after another, and you're running here and there, and you're doing all your home activities. You're washing clothes and dishes and cleaning stuff. Don't you guys ever get sick of cleaning and doing dishes and all that stuff? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, it's just always there. It gets old, and you think, man, this is all I do with my life. And I've noticed kind of a theme at the end of 2016 on Facebook. I noticed a lot of people couldn't wait to get rid of 2016. And it seems they've had a bad year for a lot of people. Many would say it's been a bad year for our country. But there are all kinds of pictures and videos and people smashing 2016 on the head and that kind of thing, and they can't wait to get to the new year. And so maybe you're one of them. I saw several people post this video to describe their year, so let's watch this quick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you kept watching, he says, thank you, little tree, and then he falls and goes down one more time. And so maybe some of you felt like that was your 2016. And so now we're on to 2017, and it's all going to be great this year, right? Nothing's going to go wrong in 2017, and it's going to be this perfect year, right? The truth is that there's going to be stuff that happens in 2017. If I stood up here and told you that, hey, let's just rely on God and this year's going to be perfect, nothing's going to happen, I'd be lying to you. Really, God never promised us that. And in fact, if anything, he promised the opposite, that there are going to be trials and struggles. And so, you know, we live in a world with problems, with issues. And you know, I think, to be honest, the biggest reason, the overall reason, is that we live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. And so all these things are a result of sin. It's not always a result of our sin, you know, although a lot of times it is. Let's not kid ourselves. A lot of times we do cause things. But overall, we live in a fallen world. Do you think before they ate the forbidden fruit that Adam had to sit there in the garden and say, Eve, give me some more fig leaves because I need to blow my nose here? No, okay, that just didn't happen. But we do have these things because we live in a fallen world, and we will always have problems to deal with until Jesus comes back, and sometimes it's overwhelming. And you look at your life and you think, you know, there's so many things wrong with my life, and I don't even know where to start. I'm overwhelmed. And I have a list of 27 things to accomplish this year, and I need to do this and this, and I don't even know where to start. And so here's the deal. Is everybody listening? Okay, well, we're going to talk today about picking one thing, especially, to work on this year with God's help. A few years ago, we started a thing called What's Your Word, where I've encouraged everyone to pick a word to focus on for the year, and I think sometimes we do. We think we need to fix 100 different things in our lives, and we get overwhelmed, and so we end up doing nothing. And so Mike Ashcroft, who is the minister of Port Community Church in Wilmington, North Carolina, he originally came up with this idea. And now I've found that sometimes it's hard to narrow it down to a single word. And so this year I'm going to say, you know, pick a word or words or a little phrase that you can pick to focus on. So maybe some of you have started thinking about your word for the year already because I've done this the last several years, so you're getting ahead of me. But Mike recommends three steps to kind of finding and applying your word. The first thing is to look in. Look in. This is the prepare your heart part. And this is where you take some time to start examining your life to see where there might be some areas that you need to work on or develop in your life or maybe to especially focus on. I like the verse about Samuel in the Old Testament. Holly and I have prayed this often for our kids, but 1 Samuel 2:26 says, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." And I like that. He just continued to grow. And I think spiritually, growth, that's what we're looking for, is to continue to grow throughout our lives. Now remember, this is about examining yourself, okay? This isn't about examining someone else. Sometimes it's easier to figure out what somebody else's word should be. And we say, hey, you should do this. So husbands, this isn't for you to pick out for your wives. Wives, it's not for you to pick out for your husbands. Friends, it's not for you to pick out their word, okay? Because, sometimes you think about, like I said, you're thinking about what should I pick for somebody else. This is about you. As far as picking for your friends, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose, right? Okay, so, yeah. Okay, I just had to throw that corny dad joke in there. So, as part of examining your life, it's crucial to get God involved in this. This is the second area. You're looking in, now you're looking up, okay? This isn't just something on your own. Okay, if it's on your own, you might pick something that's good to do, but maybe it's not what God really wants you to focus up. And so you're going to spend time in prayer, asking God, what word does he want you to focus on this year? What's the most pressing thing? Most of us have a bunch of things like we talk about, but, you know, pray, Lord, what do you want my word to be this year? And it might not come to you in a loud, booming voice that says, thou shalt pick this word this year, love, because you don't love enough, and because God speaks in King James English, right? Yeah. It's, for most of us, it's not like that. That's not how it works. It's usually subtle. It probably isn't going to be this big, loud, booming voice. A verse from the Bible stands out to you, or the same thing keeps coming up over and over, or you just know that there's an area you need to work on. You just feel kind of God pressing in on your heart, pressing it on your heart. A simple question to start with God, for God to pray to God, simply might be something like, God, what do you want me to do in me and through me this year? What do you want to do in me and through me this year? And from there, hopefully a word or phrase might start coming into focus. And so the hardest part for a lot of you will be actually deciding, okay, which word am I going to pick? And so that might take a little while. But once you get there and you spend some time kind of focusing on that word, it's time to look out. Look out. This is the action part of it. Once that word has had time to mold you, shape you a little bit, you should strive to live out your word, okay? Because we want it to be more than just a little word that we write down on a piece of paper. And so if you truly let this word permeate your life, your word might impact a lot of different areas. It might be physically or mentally, or spiritually, emotionally, maybe even relationally, financially. It's going to be a little different for each of us, but this is the next step in the process. So if your word was memorized, this is where you start kind of memorizing some scripture. If your word is love, you're finding ways to love. Or if your word is finances, this is where you're really starting to get your finances in order. And so you kind of get the idea. Each word's going to lead you in different ways. And I also think there's going to be a scripture verse that you'll be able to find to go along with your word, or a passage. And you may want to memorize that passage, or you might want to write it down, or put it on your phone, or have a reminder, or something, so you kind of keep this in your head on what the word is and what's going on with that. So I've had a head start on this, and so I'm going to share my words with you, and maybe that will give you some idea for your words as well. So I'm actually cheating a little bit. I'm going to have two words this year. One is more of a lighthearted word. The other one is more serious. And so let me share the lighthearted one first. Here we go. My first word is hugs. H-U-G-S, hugs. I want to give more hugs this year, okay? I'm not a naturally touchy-feely kind of person, and so I didn't grow up in a huggy family, and when my dad and I hug, it's still kind of this, hi, Dad, this kind of this stiff type thing. But I think hugs make everyone feel better. It's a way to show love and appreciation to each other, and I just want to kind of relate that to a Bible story. One time the Apostle Paul, he was in the city of Ephesus in the New Testament, and there were starting to be quite a few Christians. The church was getting pretty strong there. And there was also a lot of idol worship in this city. And one of the main idols worshipped was the goddess Artemis. And they built this huge, elaborate temple to worship Artemis in, and so it's a big deal, and a lot of people made a lot of money off of selling images of Artemis, and their business, to be honest, was starting to go down. Because people were becoming Christians, they were losing money because people weren't buying their idols, and so they started getting really upset with this, and they started throwing the city into an uproar. And just kind of spreading the word, and people are getting all excited and upset, and a lot of them didn't even know what they were getting excited about. But they started, everybody was going to the city theater, this outdoor theater, and they came in there, there's just kind of a mob scene going on. And finally, the city clerk got everyone kind of calmed down and had them dismissed. And so I'm just kind of summarizing the story. And after that event, Paul realized, it's best if I'm not here right now. I need to move on. and it's not good for the other Christians that I'm here. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, it says this: after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, he hugged them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And so he gave a bunch of hugs before he left. He was saying, guys, I love you, but I have to go. I have to move on because I'm causing too much of a problem here. It's not good for me to stay here, but let's have kind of a big group hug before I go. And so that's what he did. And so hugs are a good thing, right? Yes. Okay. So I think I need to give more hugs. And so to further show that they're a good thing, I have hugs for everyone on the way out. Okay. They're Hershey's hugs. Okay. So before you leave, you can get a hug or two. And so you got to start somewhere, right? So this is my first hug to all of you, is a Hershey's hug. So be sure to grab one of those before you leave. So that's my first word, hugs. My second word for the year, and this is actually two words, it is fully committed. Fully committed. I want to be fully committed to Jesus Christ in all areas of my life. And I've been praying about this word for the last couple of weeks, and I came across a verse, a passage in 2 Chronicles, and it hit me pretty hard. And this is a time in Israel's history when, for the most part, they would not follow God very well. In fact, at the time of our story, Israel had divided up into two kingdoms. There was Israel, and then there was Judah. And they didn't get along at all. In fact, they were fighting with each other at this point. And Judah's king at the time was named Asa, or Asa. And he actually had a great start to being king. Okay, he had decided, I'm going to follow God with all my heart, and our people are going to. And he started getting rid of a lot of the idols that were in the land and destroying them, and everything was going good. But then Israel started making it really hard on Judah. They started building this city that kind of blocked anyone from coming in and out of Judah's territory. Okay, and so this was very upsetting to them. So King Asa, he decides to make a treaty with another king, the king of Aram, it's also known as Syria, and said, hey, we need to stop this. We need to be able to get in and out of our country, and can you help us? And they did. And so they were able to stop it. The problem is, King Asa didn't talk to God about this. He decided that on his own, this is what he wanted to do. And so God sent a prophet to Asa, and he said this to him, starting in 2 Chronicles 16:7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah. Seer is like another word for prophet, basically. It's about the same thing. And said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Okay, and now pay attention to this next verse. This is where my words came from. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. Fully committed. I like that. It's so easy to lose sight of being fully committed to God. And King Asa was doing so well. Everything was going good. And this came up, and he's like, oh, I need to take care of this. This is what I need to do. This is how I'm going to solve this. When I try to rely on Dan's plans, they might go okay for a while. Things might be okay. But eventually they're going to fail. But when I rely on God completely through it all, it says he is going to give me strength. It doesn't say it's going to be perfect. There won't be problems. There won't be anything wrong. But it says that he will strengthen those who are fully committed to him. I need God's strength. As a pastor And as a father, and as a husband, and as a member of this community, I need God's strength sometimes to do that. I can't do that on my own. And it, God says how that happens. How does he give us the strength? It says it, when you're fully committed to him. And so I want to renew my commitment to being fully committed to God. And you can't beat the benefit of that, right? Having God's strength. So those are my words, hugs and fully committed. What are your word or words going to be? You're welcome to use my words, but before you do so, I'd encourage you to go through this process that we've talked about of praying about what God wants you to do and what he wants to do through you. Here's the thing. God does not want you to be overwhelmed. Okay, the beginning of the year, it can be overwhelming as everyone tells you what you need to do to be a better person. And you can see so many articles on 10 ways to better living or healthy eating and gym memberships and all these things. And you think, okay, this is the year. And then in a couple of weeks, it's like, oh, here we are, back to normal again. But I want you guys to know that God made you and you are a masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. And maybe he's got some really special things in store for you this year. In fact, I don't say maybe. I say he does have something special in store for you if you'll allow him to do it. Sometimes we kind of get down about things and we think, man, my life's in too much turmoil. I've messed things up too much. I want to watch a video right now just to remind you guys that you are God's masterpiece.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life, these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. What if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. You know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. As we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
You're a masterpiece, plain and simple, and you are his masterpiece. And I believe that God wants to take you, imperfect, the way you are, and say, let's work together. And I want to accomplish some special things through you this year. And I think God has something in mind for every one of you that he wants to use and do through you this year. You know, the truth is there's nothing magic about picking out a word There's nothing magical about those words, but I think sometimes God can use things like that. It's a tool to help us to work on our relationship with God, to grow in our faith. I think when you're doing your best to follow Jesus and you're saying, I'm giving everything I have, whatever that is right now, God's going to use that. And so I want to pray right now, and then if you have a if you're ready to follow Jesus today, or you're ready for the first time, or you're ready to say, I'm ready to be fully committed to Him again, you're ready to make this your church home, as we sing, you're welcome to come forward as we sing that song. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank You so much for Your patience with us, and I thank You for the special way that You've made each and every person here, and for bringing us here together today. And I pray that You'll kind of impress on each person, what is it that's kind of be that first thing that You want them to work on or do through them this year. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Your love for us. We praise You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.